Blog Talk Radio.
This is Spoken Heard. My name is Susan Dobie Chase, and today I am thrilled to bring you the talented Judah One from Pomona, California. Hello, how are you?
Hey, peace, Susan. I'm very well. How are you?
I am doing well, thanks. The weather is incredible. It's like a week before Christmas, and it's like 55 degrees here. Probably doesn't sound strange to you, but for us out here in the Midwest, it's just crazy. It makes me think about, you know, climate change, but it's also something that I welcome to a certain degree. So, that's pretty cool for me. What have you been up to? Anything fun lately or anything happening this next week?
Fun lately happening this next week? No, nothing happening this next week. This last week, I just had a show at Cal State San Bernardino with a unique ensemble called Panoply. It was our first time performing all together. It was myself, world-class percussionist Marcus Miller, not the bass player, the percussionist, Professor Scott Vance from Cal State San Bernardino, professor of music, and Cash was on the lights and, you know, the visuals. And we also had a few dancers from the Lula Washington Dance Studio. And so it was a really, really, really dope show. Yeah, it was pretty complex.
Uh-huh.
It went off pretty well, though.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So
how did that all come together?
That was the last show. Oh, I got a phone call from Cash. Cash kind of put it together. I did a show earlier this year in San Bernardino where the shootings were, a couple miles from my house, actually. We could talk about that later, I suppose. Anyway, he called me up. He saw me at a show. You know, Marcus and Scott, they had an idea for something. They wanted to pull a poet. I guess the poet that Marcus knew was in New York. Cash was like, yo, that doesn't make sense when the studio's here in Redlands. So let's call Judah. Just heard him rip a show. That's his words, not mine, okay? But I did rip the show. And so we met up, and our first meeting was actually a rehearsal. And we recorded it and everything. I was like, oh, this is kind of fire off top. So we had about four or five more, and then we had a show with the dancers for the first time. And they brought the poetry alive in a way that the ways that I see in my mind, but you're not able to see as I'm saying. You know, you make your own picture in your head of what I'm saying. But they kind of opened it up in that way. So it was good for me to watch as well. There'll be some video of it soon. You'll see it.
Nice. Will it be on your Facebook? Will it be on a website? Where can we get it?
You know, these things I do not know quite yet. I know I'll put them up on my Facebook. But I don't allow everybody to follow my Facebook, though, because I have pictures of my daughter up. And, you know, there's a lot of creeps in the world. Just keep it 100.
Keep us posted, because I'd really love to see it. I know that I've got Facebook contact, so I'm set. But, if you contact me and you let me know how we can get a hold of it, I will pass that along on the future show.
Yeah, I'll definitely put my links on the Instagram. You can follow that Instagram at Judah1, JUDAH1, the number, never the word. You could also follow at Lionlike Inc., Lionlike INC. And I'll probably even put it up on the Machine Pomona web site, which is Machine Pomona, real simple.
All right, perfect. That'll help. That'll help a lot for people who want to see it. I'm sure it's incredible, given the lineup that you just described. I'm very impressed. Nice work.
Yeah, I was blessed that they even called my name. So it was
I know. I would be too. Amazing.
They called me out the stands, and I said, "Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play."
Awesome.
I've been kind of sitting on the sidelines the last year and a half, and haven't been in the artistic world for a minute. So that was like my first getting back out, really, and it was dope.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna do it again, and it's gonna be live.
Awesome. I'm really glad to hear it. And it's great to have you back in the artistic community. We've missed you. Would you do me a favor? And just as we start out here, I would love to ask you if you could possibly read something for us.
Okay, I'll do that. This poem is called Time Has Traveled. Some time passes longer than other time, but it is time all the same. This is only the third line, and I'm already 67 miles from when I started it. The earth travels 67,000 miles per hour, you know. When I felt I was stuck, that must have been a true metaphor. I have crossed the span of earth three times in my phylums. It was there I met Midas. Then I learned to touch. It was when I heard to listen. I was in the same place 200,000 miles away from when I got there, when I realized I was the future in the present. I spoke from that perspective as one who has been around the sun. I've seen the orbit and the cycles. The seasons sound the same like the mist and they reason. They say time is linear. My soul alerts treason. They worry about the end, never figured the beginning. Many winning in a race, they admit they never knew the purpose of. What are you running for? What are you running to? What will you do when you get there? Will I run so fast to the finish line? If you're treating life like a race, I hope you know the rules. Call them universal truths. Nightly I travel 469,000 miles away from Adam's apple, body in the same place, call it time travel. My dreams unravel problems in the present tense. In a sense, it's pretty intense, realizing what you're doing, powerful in fact. But the power isn't acknowledging the power. I acknowledge the power and the principles set before me. And that's it.
Lovely. Where did that poem start? What brought that on?
I was sitting at the edge of my bed in silence, which I often do. I often spend most of my days in complete silence or as close to it as possible. No, not as a practice, just as my being. Like, I'm pretty silent most times unless I'm talking. That poem came about as I was thinking about time and time travel and the Fibonacci sequence and thinking about how everything in life is a cycle and how it can possibly, if you figure out, you know, where you are right now with your stars and all of this stuff, if you could figure out right now where you are on your timeline, you could possibly figure out the sequence or the speed that you've been moving in this circle and can go backward, or at least can look backward constantly. And if that's possible, then you can also then look forward. Because if you figure out your math, basically, like how you're moving around this sun and how your orbit's moving around your center and what that means for you, I think we can kind of see back and forth. I don't know if we can go back and forth, but I think we can see back and forth, being as that God is in us, and if time is just laid out before him, well, time is laid out before us. So that's just it. But that's where I came
from. Wow. So you spent a lot of time in silence, you said, and that it's something that you don't think about, but it's just naturally your being. Do you think that helps you as a writer?
Yes. When I was younger, I did it on purpose. I don't have a TV in my house. In my house when I was younger as well, I would have the radio, but it would only be like to play stuff I already knew. I don't want to just hear people talking. I don't want to hear a lot of other, just for the sake of my own creativity and the sake of my own voice, my own creative voice and my own mental state. I prefer not to just have a bunch of voices filling me up with their opinions and everything. There was a time when I was writing, and I was going to the Poetry Lounge very, very often. That's the family. And NQ was there. You know, that's Big Brother, mentor in the building. But I found that I would not try to write like him, but my cadence would be like others. So I stopped going to Poetry Venues for a while because I want my voice to be mine. I want everything that I'm writing to come from the source straight through and no filter. And so that's how, you know, that's how it just comes through. I try to make it like a not a channel, like a medium, but a, so much of a funnel with less shit in the way.
Right.
So TV and radio and just noise in general, that's a lot of frequency. That's a lot of vibration. And when you're trying to hear something, that's also frequency and vibration. Well, and if these things are not in harmony, well, then they're in disharmony. So you're going to fuck up my frequency. So just be quiet for a minute. Let me hear what I'm hearing. And let me get it out the way I'm trying to get it out. Or let me go through my processes. And those are loud in my head. So I don't need, you know, a lot of other things. So that's it.
Yeah. Wow. Incredible. So it's almost like a purposeful meditation so that you can bring out your artistic voice. I love that. I really
yeah,
do.
I mean,
I know that. Go ahead.
I'm saying not just the artistic voice, but just I could be my most true self.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So when I have a conversation,
yeah.
It's not someone else's opinion. It's mine.
Yes.
Just my most true self, to true to form. You know, other people can influence that, but, you know, I'm pretty guarded about what and who influences me.
Mm-hmm.
So, or what mm-hmm. and who I have my gates and doors open to, my ear gates, my eye gates, mouth gate,
mm-hmm.
all those. I protect myself. So, you know, it's important that we do that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Has that changed at all since you've had your daughter?
Actually, yeah, I kind of shut my doors to everything for a while. It's just she and I. I haven't been able to write yet. She and I I sing to her all the time, so I have a bunch of little songs that I'm not going to sing to you, but they're good songs. yeah, it's changed. I think I've changed quite a bit, and it's still, that process is still like, it's still settling in me, so I haven't been able to write about it. And there's also some other
right.
things as well that I just haven't been able to write about just yet. I think they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
I got to face myself in those things. You know, that's the nature of poetry.
Right.
You know, you got to go real deep. So that's it.
Yes, yes, I agree. Okay, going back to the thing in San Bernardino, excuse me. You mentioned that maybe we could talk about that later. You just did your show there, and you said that it was close to where the shootings were. Let me know what you were going to say about San Bernardino and your involvement there.
So I don't have any involvement in San Bernardino yet. Thinking about it.
Okay.
Thinking about
okay.
it. Okay. That's not really my area, but I've been doing my reconnaissance and my research and doing some numbers. Thinking about it, and I'm not really thinking about San Bernardino as my target for the next art stuff yet. But as far as the shooting, that was literally like 3 or 4 miles from my house. I used to actually work with the LA regional centers, the Lanaman regional center. So I'm familiar with the system of the IRC, the Inland Empire Regional Center. I worked with the mentally and developmentally adults for a while, for about a year, and. So I really thought that was odd that they were hitting that building when there was no info. And then, you know, the second info came, and I was like, well, disgruntled employees, and it was like a public, what was it, Public Works that were meeting there, some shit like that. But then, you know, I'm looking at CNN that day when I got home, and my friend from college, I'm not going to say her name because then, you know, they might search me up, but she was on CNN live. Because she was there, and she said it was three, athletic build,
really?
And they were kind of tall. And this woman that they killed is not athletic build, and she's not tall. Now, the girl that gave that description, I believe she has her master's in biology, so her description of a man and a woman is not going to be confused, you know what I mean, like even by size.
Right.
So I don't think that that's the case. I don't know, man. I think they pulled up some people. I'm seeing other reports of other people that were there. And then when they killed the
really?
People, they were like, that's not the people that were there. That's not the same people. That's not the same people. I don't know. These things remind me of, you know, even General Gaddafi. When Al-Qaeda was, you know, going into his nation, he was like, yo, man, that's not my people. Saddam Hussein said the same thing. I'm not backing these men at all. But I'm saying when we do some shit, we create terrorism. And I wrote a poem about that. There are movies about oppressive environments and they create terrorism. So Saddam Hussein didn't have that shit because he'd just kill you. But afterward, he was like, yo, man, Al-Qaeda, they're coming here. These people fighting me. They're not my people. This is not, you know, I'm not speaking for Iraqi people. I'm just saying in that situation, I do believe him in saying, yo, Al-Qaeda wasn't there before because they weren't there before.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, we let them in and then it's like, oh, now there's a problem. Well, we're letting them in problems that, you know, little birdies say that we create. But, you know, this is poetry hour, not conspiracy hour, I suppose, but. Those are my thoughts on these things.
Wow, I had no idea that there was such a conspiracy theory or that people who were there and witnessing it had a different story than what's being told.
No,
to get on the internet.
The first thing the news reporter said it was three people. That's the first thing they said. And then they're like, yes, that's the first thing they said. And then later, like, they killed two, they got two people. And then earlier in the day, before they got those two people, they said they got one person who may or may not have been in connection to that. And they were not talking about the person that sold them guns to Mr. Farouk or Fahouk, or I don't remember the spelling of their names and I don't want to butcher it. But, yeah, it wasn't the same dude. But then you don't hear any more about that. And once again, the eyewitnesses say it was three. We don't hear any more about this third. So I don't know.
Wow.
I know a couple people on my Facebook page also had their family members wounded. I know one dude's mother had died. So it is close to home. So, you know, I don't know, man. We be doing some false flag shit, and that's on record. So I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't trust them.
Amazing.
I stick with the public enemy standpoint that they told me in the 90s. Can't trust them. So I don't.
Yeah.
And I put that on everything I love. I do not trust them. So that's it. That's all I say on that. I don't trust them. But people die.
Okay.
Peace to those people and peace to their families. And bless them.
Yes.
Because that's some bullshit that they died over, whether it's terrorism or some conspiracy. It's bullshit. But bless those people. Peace and prosperity to their families. Swear it up.
Absolutely. I as well would like to join in that. It's just so sad. We're more than halfway through the show at this point. And usually at the center of the show, I ask my guests to read another piece. Could I prevail upon you to do that?
Sure. True indeed. Let's go this way. So I didn't swallow this mocha. You're not really supposed to drink performers. You're not really supposed to drink any milk products of any sort before you got to go up and talk. It creates a lot of mucus in the back. You probably know that. You might not. There's your tip. Anyway, here we go. In silence, I might find some wealth locked away behind most makers of noise and material non-existence. I could touch it once, the non-existent. I existed there also, I suppose, but suppose I didn't. There I am in the isn't to be or not. I am hidden in six riddles of God, embodied, unraveled, and revealed in body. My spirit remains coiled like serpents, naga, and kundalini. I remember when mine exploded. My legs collapsed under an electric shock, glued to floor. A certain seizure welcomed. I entered through doors, made open by a priest's incantation, spellbound. Bound by letters and universal law, I attract. My attraction magnetized, radiated in ion, melted nuclear fusion in every single nucleus. My light body remained human to the fullest extent. When certain lights bent, they made my curves. Mine first. As above, so below, the mystic said about the darkness. I witnessed the miraculous with my eyes closed. Such is the Zen I'm in. Such as the Tao, you know, is not the our children who overstand and men who have managed a certain innocence. And when we have quenched the violence in ourselves with fire and water, the earth and air remain, bound by much ether. These centers of self do not orbit, but have orbit and influence over the all. But only the all that encompasses these centers. It is from the beginning of the cycle that we witness the true self. God embodied, and nobody is full until emptied of ego. I will let go again. Somewhere along the way, I balled my fist to fight, to hold, Lord, I relent since you relent not, and I am bound to struggle against myself. My God, in memories of what I might be thought to be, submission is key to these lessons. All new to me, all too familiar, all true beyond all lie I might believe. Might I believe in true religion with dirty jeans and hands unclean? Might I have heaven as well as hell in hand? Grant me the upper hand, sever that which feels peace. If you rend me in pieces, accept my remainder as whole. If even but a fingernail is left to claim holy, Lord, I claim holy in you. You claim more holy in me. If I might see you and see what you see in me, that I might see you in fullness and live beyond the light you were shrouded by, I recognize you in my blinks. You acknowledge me when I think quantum leap happened in between these blinks.
Wow. You know, you come to a lot of, back to a lot of scientific principles and the ideas of things surrounding you and rotating and how that relates back to the earth and rotation. And, you know, these are images that I see coming back a couple of times in just what you've read here. Is that something? Yeah. Tell me about that.
Oh, man, that's just everything. That's just I've always been fascinated with science. Even with my art gallery, we called it lab. Not so much that, you know, we did science or whatever, but coming up and learning, you know, religion and whatever, all these kind of deals, and then starting to get to the deeper aspects of it, you start to get to the mysteries and alchemy. So the alchemy aspect is what I really started my gallery with, what I really held through all my poetry the last 4 or 5 years. So you start to hear cycles, and I'm trying to connect us as a people, not only one to this universe, but just that the knowledge of God is one out there, but that is in us, and that this universe is us, and that the earth is also in us, and it's all the same thing. So I'm going to keep telling you about these cycles. I'm going to keep telling you about, you know, star, and then the next second I'll talk about, you know, the rock, and then the next second I'm going to talk about your heart, because these things are all the same, and I'm trying to show you, you know, as above, so below, the macrocosm is the microcosm, all that shit, it's all the same thing, there is no other thing, it's just one fucking thing, so that's it, so you're going to hear one message over and over, over and over, over and over,
right?
That's how I speak. There's some variation.
Right. Well,
and
that over and over kind of. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, as an artist, you know, there's a theme, but there's also variation. I have plenty of variation.
But yeah, what you were saying about over and over kind of relates to that circle that you keep talking about, you know, rotation and how everything has a cycle over and over, over and over. So that's interesting to me, too. You had mentioned that your art gallery. Tell us a little about that.
Oh, it's going now. I closed in December or July of 2014. Had it for 4 years. It was luminous. It was like the temple over there. We had, I'm going to say, over at least 200 or 300 art shows, many of which, like, it was their first art show. I opened it. I opened it because we already had Lion Like Mind State in a space, and that's my open mic. With Lion Life, though, you know, there are vendors that come naturally to these things. So they have clothing, and they make the clothing. They have jewelry. They make the jewelry. They have CDs. Shit, they make CDs. When we were doing poetry on stage, we had artist Shelley Bruce, piece to Shelley Bruce, and Tony Cole. They would do live art right next to us. So I looked around at them, and I was like, yo, I had been selling CDs out of my trunk. These people sell their clothes and shit out of their trunk. I was like, that's cool. We got good product. But Walmart's not going to carry our shit, and all these other stores aren't going to carry our shit. Let's just have somebody just open up a space so that we can do what we want to do and be who the fuck we are. You know what I'm saying? So
did
that. Yeah, it cost a lot. I learned a lot doing it. I love it, though. Like, that was my heart and soul, for real. Built the walls, did the floor, did the ceiling, like, rebuilt the whole space. By hand, me. in the homies and strangers that came through the door. Literally, strangers would come through and help. Like, it was just work, man. It was a beautiful thing. We had Capoeira Angola. We had, and that was dope, and that established the Capoeira Angola community in the Inland Empire, which still goes today very strong. That's by Jelani Latif as the instructor. We had live art classes. We had art shows and art fairs for the local foster youth. So, like the local group homes, they would bring their kids in 40, 50 at a time by the busload, and we would, you know, have a art workshop, a poetry workshop, and then somebody would just do some comedy and make them laugh. You know what I mean? Because life is hard. Mm-hmm. They're foster kids. So, you know, teaching them that there's more, and that even though they don't have anything, it will come from themselves. That was the whole thing about the cycles and the circles. I'm telling the kids the same thing so they understand. If it's hard today, yes, just keep going through the cycle, yo. Just keep going through the cycle. That should have lightened up. Everything's a cycle. Life is a cycle. Everything about it's a cycle. Your atoms, all that shit. Back to Machine Pomona. Sorry, I rant. I tangent. Oh, man, we had everything. We had at least over 50% of the art shows were people having their first art show ever. Over half of the hip-hop shows we had, they were kids having their first time ever speaking on a microphone. The poetry venue, it was their first time ever feeling like someone was hearing them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When they were selling their shit, it was the first time of them seeing their shit in a store. And it was awesome to them, and that's very empowering to the community. If I do it again, I know they support it. If I don't do it again, I know they love me, and I love them back, so it's all good.
We only have 3 minutes and about 15 seconds left, and I know that you're going to read us out of the show. I just wanted to mention that AJ Houston is my guest next week. I want to thank you so much, Judah One. You are an amazing talent, and good luck for you in the future. And if you could, here's the last piece by Judah One.
All right. As my stomach pushes my heart into my throat, I speak love from several sources of ash. A silent pain thrashes. Tears through ducts dried up. How does one mourn love? Love unfulfilled. Like forsaken promises. Lent over Passover, as it were. Almost Easter in spring. Passion of my Christ. Sacrifice the similes. Move on to sacred metaphor. I am. Archetype asexual. Create myself over in reflection and echoes. Chanted as poems. Recited as scripture. As they were. As they were once. Once they were as. Concepts created under stars. I called out the constellations next to you. When you were next to me, they connected. When you left, new mythology and new old lessons to be learned. How quick the quicksilver really is. I blame the moons by multiples divided by the square root of ether. An invisible sightseer, seer of words, through tones made ripples in my dimension that slipped future back to memory and you. A present tomorrow from yesterday, a muse of forever type impact, worthy of nightmares and man-made religion and spells casted by consonants with descriptions of your frame in mind. I rant to many listeners, and they hear the unsaid, the should've voice vowels bubbling in my bowels, like radio waves without transmitter, dual on my frequency now, dialed in some time over an accent, a distance satiated by regret and three sorrows. Let me borrow your hollows till holy they become to me, and holy we return, burning past silence and blaze. We smoke signal, we rain dance, we war cry, we fashion arrows and decorate them according to our fashion. Cupid does not fit us, aiming with long bow and squinted eyes. With pierced ears we listen for a sound to make us fire, hot arrows from fresh friction, dark and obsidian, like our pupils in shadow, like our melanin in a summer too long. I sing you a song, but I can't raise my voice above my heart, which is lodged in my throat still. Yo, peace.
Thanks again, Judah One.
Thank
beautiful
you,
work. You're welcome. You're more than welcome. Again, AJ Houston is my guest next week. I would like to thank Rick McIntyre, who does so much work behind the scenes for me. This is Spoken Heard. My name is Susan Dobie Chase.
And I want to say peace to Dim Lights, peace to Brick to Your Face, Common Ground, peace to Lion Light, peace to Shelly Bruce, the Poetry Lounge, all the fam in the SoCal. Elevated in San Diego. Yo, peace. Everybody up.
Thank you, Judah. Be kind to one another.
You indeed.